RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, Indonesian wonder, and we'll continue our segment with miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla targets to construct Indonesian Islamic International University in 2018. Ramadan serves momentum to build nationhood. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla held a coordinating meeting at his office in Jakarta on Friday to discuss about the construction of Indonesian Islamic International University, UIII, located in Cimanggis Depok, West Java. After the meeting, Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin to the press said that the Vice President targets to construct dormitory and classroom as well as mosque in 2018 around the complex of the university. The minister also said that the government will carry out three preparation order to construct this university, which will be the biggest Islam university in Southeast Asia. The first preparation is land procurement and physical preparation. The second one is regarding to the academic, and the last one is regulation.
Pak Wapres ingin mendengarkan progres, laporan perkembangan dari persiapan yang selama ini dilakukan. Jadi ada tiga besaran persiapan yang dilakukan. Pertama, persiapan terkait dengan keberadaan lahan.
We hope we can accomplish the master plan in this year. Thus, in the next year, the construction can be started first from the priority rooms such as classroom and dormitory. Regarding to physical preparation, Minister Lutman explained that the government keeps preparing for the land in which the Minister of Religious Affairs has received the land from Radio Republik Indonesia RRI as the land owner, so there is no problem about land procurement. Regarding to academic procedures, the minister reminded about the curriculum that would be used later on because it is important aspect regarding to curriculum, faculty student qualification as well as lecturer qualification who will teach. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin urged Muslims to maintain the sacredness of fasting month of Ramadan as the basis for building their personality and nationhood. He said that Ramadan in Arabic means to burn. That means that Ramadan is a month for Muslims to burn lust, anger, scorn, and other destructive behaviors. To the end, Minister Lukman hopes that Ramadan is not littered with hate speech, insult, and defamation, both in the space of social perspective and in the realm of religions. The minister added that fasting can increase the sense of compassion, mutual respect, and honor for others. People who fast will not get any reward if they are not able to establish peace in social life. In the national context, he said the sacredness of Ramadan should be maintained to strengthen the national commitment to preserving the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia and the philosophy ideology of Pancasila. The operator of the Soekarno-Hatta International Airport train, PT Rail Link, based on internal discussion on the fare for the train scheduled to be operational by the middle of this year, has estimated that the cost of the train could range between 100,000 around $7.51 and 150,000 rupiah. Railin spokesperson Dia Suryandari said on Friday that this fare range takes into account business considerations. They do not want to burden the state budget at all. However, Dia said that the fare rates had yet been finalized. with further internal discussion planned. She views that the fare for the passenger will depend on distance. Airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II has recently completed the construction of station. Meanwhile, state railway operator PT KAI has nearly completed railway infrastructure. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan will issue a ministerial regulation to require coal miners to deploy coal manufacturing facilities, especially underground coal gasification, the energy output of which could be used for electricity. Minister spokesman Sujat Miko said on Tuesday that the minister had instructed the head of the Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force to accelerate the development of coal gasification. The Minister of Research and Development for Coal and Mineral Technology has also developed three models of geological layers for coal gasification facilities. Under the planned regulations, Sujat Miko added that a mining company could develop its own coal gasification facility or it could also jointly develop the facility. Sujat Miko said Indonesia is cooperating with India on the coal gasification program because the country had experience with technology. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Major Indonesian carrier Lion Air Group plans to operate a new route connecting Bandung West Java and Pekanbaru Riau to cater the surging demand for flyers between the two cities. According to the group's statement, airline under the group will fly daily to this destination starting from June 16. Lion Air Group Public Relations Manager Andit Saladin said in a statement on Friday, the launch of the latest route would also aim to anticipate an increase of travel between both cities ahead of Idul Fitri, which will fall at the end of June. The new service will add to 21 daily flights from Bandung International Airport Hussein Sastra Negara to 11 domestic destinations such as Makassar, Surabaya, Denpasar, Medan, and Batam. And one of international destinations, namely Kuala Lumpur, shared by the three airlines under Lion Air Group, Lion Air, Wings Air, and sister airline Malindo Air. Indonesia's permanent delegation office to UNESCO in Paris, France, has launched a children's book that promotes the beauty and richness of culture of life in the country. The book entitled Komodo Mau Main Musyid, which means Komodo wants to play musyid, is aimed at introducing Indonesian culture to children aged 3 to 8 worldwide, Indonesia UNESCO office said in a statement on Friday. The book launch coincided with the 40th anniversary of Komodo National Park inclusion in the UNESCO World Network of Biosphere Reserved, WNBR. The publishing of the book also marked the 26th anniversary of the National Park inclusion on the UNESCO World Natural Heritage List. Published in Indonesian, English, and French, the book presents a Komodo dragon, orangutan, and an Indonesian teenager that lives surrounded by the richness of Indonesian culture and nature. The last item, Bank Indonesia BI has predicted that May 2017 inflation rate will stand at 0.37% month-to-month due to a rise in the prices of garlic, chicken, meat, eggs, and transportation tariffs. Rise in public consumption at the start of past month of Ramadan will also add to the May 2017 inflation rate. Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martoyo said on Friday that the May 2017 inflation forecast is based on the result of the survey conducted by Bank Indonesia on the prices of commodities until 3rd week of May 2017. He explained that if the forecast proves to be true, the annual inflation rate in May 2017 will reach 4.31%, which is at the upper limit of the inflation target of 3.25% year-on-year set by Bank Indonesia. Governor Agus further said that Bank Indonesia will step up its coordination with the government to increase the role of regional inflation control teams in all provinces to anticipate inflation rate high during Ramadan. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with press review. Various important events occurring this week have been featured in the editorials of some of the leading media published in Jakarta and are summarized in the press review. Let's start with Media Indonesia newspaper, which in its editorial on Tuesday, May the 23rd, wrote Investment for Welfare. Fresh wind penetrates from the economic sector despite the cloudy social and political conditions of Indonesia. Indonesia has been awarded an investment grade rating by Standard & Poor's or S&P International Rating Agency. Now it is legitimate to Indonesia to hold a worthy investment title. Previously, two of the three international rating agencies that control most of the market share, namely Moody's and Fitch Ratings, have also pinned the status of investment worth for Indonesia. The newest investment worthy label to Indonesia awarded by Standard & Poor's is clearly a positive catalyst for Indonesia's financial markets. The ranking will bring a positive impact, especially for developing countries like Indonesia. Opportunities will be greater for Indonesia to broaden investor confidence in viewing the country as a comfortable country for investment. Indonesian economic sector optimism is getting higher amid the social and political climate when the central government first got fair without exception predicate from the National Supreme Audit Agency Central Government Financial Report in 2016. The opinions was given because a number of state auditor institutions' finding in the last year were almost all completed by the government last year. It gave a fair opinion with an exception in 2015. According to Media Indonesia, in the future, the government should continue to clean up the infrastructure sector, bureaucracy, licensing, as well as taxation. The improvement will lead to increased competitiveness. Clearly, the rise in rank is like a boost for developing countries to compete in fiscal, monetary, and policy reforms. It becomes an additional energy for this republic to be more agile in spurring itself. In addition, maintaining socio-political stability becomes a necessity. A conducive social and political life will certainly make investors more comfortable to invest in Indonesia. This country still needs a large amount of investment to bring people closer to the hope of prosperity. Next is Kompas newspaper in its editorial on Wednesday, May the 24th, wrote on the importance of cultural strategy. The study on the importance of cultural strategy needs to be raised again because it is very vital for any nation, especially for the nation and state of Indonesia. Guidance for cultural development is increasingly needed, especially in the face of a wave of change that tends to tamper with recent value orientation. A wave of change that, among other things, brings with it a different ideology that is different from Indonesian philosophy Pancasila values, destabilizes the joints of the life together, undermines social cohesion and mutual trust. The description on the weakening of social cohesion is seen in the results of a study by the research development of Kompas in May. Some respondents said, social solidarity has weakened. It also recognized the weakening of tolerance among religious people, ethnic and intergroup. In fact, the attitude of tolerance and social solidarity expressed in the spirit of gotong royong or mutual cooperation is Indonesia's superior culture. According to Kompas, without a strategy, the direction of cultural development is feared to be disoriented, easily oscillated by outside influences or trapped in the pool of narrow alienating power of the elites and the domestic political adventurers. Of course, the question are who, when, and where to start. That is a challenge that must be answered by all stakeholders of the nation and state, if not to deteriorate amid current flow of change. Well, that was Press Review over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to meet you again. I'm Hirmana Rahmana in our regular program Today in History over Arrival Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on May 27, 1905 when the Battle of Tsushima occurred. The Battle of Tsushima was a major naval battle between Russia and Japan during the Russo-Japanese War. It was naval history's only decisive sea battle fought by modern steel battleship fleets, and the first naval battle in which wireless telegraphy or radio played a critical important role. It has been characterized as the dying echo of the old era, the last time in the history of naval warfare ships off the line of a beaten fleet surrender on the high seas. It was fought on 27-28 May in the Tsushima Strait between Korea and Southern Japan. In this battle, the Japanese fleet under Admiral Togo Heijo Zero destroyed 2/3 of the Russian fleet under Admiral Sinovich Rozhestvensky. In London in 1906, Sir George Sydenham Clarke wrote, "The Battle of Tsushima is by far the greatest and the most important naval event since Trafalgar." Decades later, historian Edmund Morris agreed with this judgment. The destruction of Russian Navy caused a bitter reaction from the Russian public, which induced a peace treaty in September 1905 without any further battles. The next event was in 1964 when Jawaharlal Nehru passed away. Jawaharlal Nehru, who was born on 14 November 1889 and passed away 27 May 1964, was the first Prime Minister of India and a central figure in Indian politics before and after independence. He emerged as the paramount leader of the Indian independence movement under the guidance of Mahatma Gandhi and ruled India from its establishment as independent nation in 1947 until his death in 1964. He is considered to be the architect of modern Indian nation-state, a supreme socialist, secular and democratic republic. He was also known as a Pandit Nehru due to his roots with Kashmiri Pandit community, while many Indian children knew him as a Chacha Nehru. Nehru was elected by the Congress to assume office as independent Indian's first Prime Minister, although the question of leadership had been settled as far back as 1941, when Gandhi acknowledged Nehru as his political heir and successor. As Prime Minister, he set out to realize his vision of India. The Constitution of India was enacted in 1950, after which he embarked on an ambitious program of economic, social and political reforms. Chiefly, he oversaw India's transition from a colony to a republic, while nurturing a plural, multi-party democracy. In foreign policy, he took a leading role in non-alignment with the projecting India as a regional hegemon in South Asia. And the next event was in 2006 when the Yogyakarta earthquake occurred. The 2006 Yogyakarta earthquake occurred at 5:54 local time on 27 May with the moment magnitude of 6.4 scale Richter. Several factors led to this approximate amount of damage and number of casualties for the size of the shock, with more than 5,700 dead, tens of thousands injured, and financial loss around 29.1 trillion rupees, around $3.1 billion. With limited effects to public infrastructure and lifelines, housing and private businesses for the majority of damage, the 9th century Prambanan Hindu temple compound was also affected, and the United Nations National Geophysical Data Center classified the total damage from the event as extreme. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is Ada Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today it is on Indonesian Health Minister reports progress of National Health Insurance at WHO Assembly.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
Indonesian Health Minister Nila F. Muluk presented the progress of the Indonesian National Health Insurance at the annual session of the World Health Organization, WHO. This was reported by the permanent representative of the Republic of Indonesia in Geneva and received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Thursday, 25 May. In the annual session of the World Health Organization in Geneva on Tuesday, Indonesian Health Minister Nila F. Muluk said that the current national health insurance program has been followed by more than 175 million Indonesians. Minister Nila Muluk said that the national health insurance is a commitment of the government of Indonesia in implementing the sustainable development goals at the national level, that is, not to leave anyone in development. In addition to the national health insurance, the government of Indonesia has also developed innovations to ensure the availability of health services for all people. Through the implementation of the Healthy Nusantara program since the beginning of 2015, currently more than 1,500 health workers are located in more than 300 health centers across the archipelago, especially in border areas and remote areas. The Indonesian government is also improving rural hospital services with the mandatory placement of specialist doctors in certain areas. In the WHO's annual meeting, the Minister of Health of Republic of Indonesia emphasized that the National Development Plan in the health sector is in line with the Sustainable Development Agenda. The Sustainable Development Agenda is agreed by world leaders, including Indonesia, in 2015. The agenda contains 17 goals and 168 cross-sectoral outcomes. Minister Nila Muluk also affirmed that the need for international cooperation in handling pandemic across borders. According to Minister Nila Muluk, the cooperation will help Indonesia's efforts to strengthen the national health system because there are so many contagious diseases that come from abroad, along with the advancement of transportation technology that facilitates population mobility. Related to that, Indonesia is ready to implement the WHO Joint External Evaluation to conduct an evaluation on the national health system in November 2017. One of the important achievements of the government of Indonesia in relation to the implementation of health standards as established by WHO is the completion of the National Action Plan for Antimicrobial Resistance through a multi-sectoral approach. Meanwhile, separately, the permanent representative of Indonesia to the United Nations and international organizations in Geneva, Ambassador Hasan Klip, conveyed the necessity of continuing national, regional, and global synergies on various health issues. Hasan Klip said that with the flow of globalization, for example, infectious disease increasingly easy to move from one country to another, as in the case of Ebola and Zika. Indonesia should continue to be wary of identifying potential outbreaks through international cooperation to strengthen its handling capacity at the national level. WHO, as an organization responsible for world health development, prioritized the achievement of goals in the health sector, especially on health insurance. That was Focus for today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla held a coordinated meeting at his office in Jakarta on Friday to discuss about the construction of Indonesian Islamic International University located in Cimanggis Depok, West Java. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin urged Muslims to maintain the sacredness of fasting month of Ramadan as the basis for building their personality and the nationhood. The operator of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport train PT Rail Link, based on internal discussion on the fare for the train scheduled to be operational by the middle of this year, has estimated that the cost of the train could range between 100,000 or around $7.51 and 150,000 rupiah. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Ignatius Jonan will issue a ministerial regulation to require coal miners to develop coal manufacturing facilities, especially underground coal gasification, the energy output of which will be used for electricity. Major Indonesian carrier Lion Air Group plans to operate a new route connecting Bandung, West Java and Pekanbaru, Riau to cater surging demand from flyer between the two cities. Indonesian Permanent Delegation Office to UNESCO in Paris, France, has launched a children's book that promotes the beauty and richness of culture and wildlife in the country. The book, entitled Komodo Mau Main Musyid, which means Komodo wants to play musyid, is aimed at introducing Indonesian culture to the children aged 3 to 8 worldwide. Bank Indonesia BI has predicted that the May 2017 inflation rate will stand at 0.37% month-to-month due to a rise in the prices of garlic, chicken, meat, eggs, and transportation tariffs. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of destination places in West Sumbawa, Sumba Island, East Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listener Lake as destination place is popular among tourists. In southwest Sumba on Sumba Island, East Nusa Tenggara Province has one of beautiful lakes, namely Wikuri Lake. The lake is most unique tourism object on Sumba Island. Unlike other lakes which have fresh water, the water in Wikuri Lake is salty. Listener, the name of Wikuri in Sumba language means water. The water is salty because the seawater is through the crevices of the cliffs and then accommodated by basin which is fenced by stones. The depth of the Wikuri Lake has around 2.5 meters. The lake is surrounded by brown sturdy coral and many exotic rocks. The beauty of the water of the lake, which has blue color, makes anybody to stay longer. Wikuri Lake has been well known since 2010. This lake is rather quiet, so a tourist can swim longer. This lake water contains high salt content that makes anyone float. The tourist can also play white sand on the shores of the lake. At other corners, there are some wooden gazebos to take a rest. Listener, Wikuri Lake is located at Kalena Ronggo Village, North Kodi Sub-District, Southwest Sumba Regency. To go to the lake after using air transportation from Kupang City, the trip is continued by renting car from Tambaloka. We suggest you to rent car with driver who really understands Southwest region because the road is quite challenging. Most of its road is not paved yet. Besides, the tourists will also go through forests, so you have to be careful. After arriving at the guard post, you must continue the trip by walking as long as 25 meters to Wikuri Lake. Listener, the facility at Wikuri Lake is still inadequate. There is neither store nor hotel. If you want to come to this place, we suggest you to bring your own food and beverage. To stay at night, you can stay at the closed lodging at Tambolaka City. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Wikuri Lake in West Sumba, East Nusa Tenggara Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Federal Rewards Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in our regular segment, Miscellany. Listener, besides Semarang in Central Java Province, which owns some Pokong Temple that is closely related to the famous Chinese Admiral Cheng Ho, Lhasam apparently has a long history of opium and the first Chinese landing area in Java. Today's miscellany will inform you about Lhasam with the nickname Little China that used to be the center of Dachi and now turned into a sub-district within the area of government of the Regency of Rembang. Listener, Lhasam is a district town in Rembang Regency, Central Java, that has been famous as one of the best producers of batik in Indonesia. In addition to the city's famous nickname as Batik Town, Santri Town and Heritage Town, Lhasam is also nicknamed as Little China. Why? It is because Lhasam is the first Chinese landing area in Java. It can be proved by the spread of Chinese village in Lhasam. There also lies a gold-plated Buddha statue. Geographically, the location of Lhasam is very strategic for trade activities. Therefore, Lhasam became a land and trading center for people who come to Java. In the 14th and 15th century, Lhasam was one of China's immigrant growing places besides Semarang and Surabaya. As a political ambassador of Chinese Emperor of Ming Dynasty, Admiral Cheng Ho wanted to foster bilateral relations with Majapahit Kingdom, especially in the field of culture and commerce. At that time, Babagan River, called as Paturan River, all trade transactions were conducted and slowly immigrants from China came and built houses as places to live and place of worship, such as temples. The remaining temples that still stand in Lhasam until now are Ji Yongbyo, Ju Ankyong and Po Anbo of the Three Temples, Ji Yongbyo is a special temple built in 7080 to commemorate and honor the Lhasa heroes' act while fighting against the VOC during the Dutch colonial period. The heroes are Tan Kee Wee, a reputable Chinese in Lhasa, Oi Ing Kiat, who holds Raden Ngabehi Widyaningrat, a Chinese who had served as Duke and Mayor in Lhasa, and Raden Panji Margono, son of 5th Teja Kusuma, a former of Duke in Lhasa. Listeners, Bisa Temple, Chinese and Java acculturation of culture at that time left the work of North Coast batik tulis that was known as Batik Lhasa. The development of batik in Lhasa commenced from Nalini, or the prince of Champa wife Binang Un, a member of the Zheng He expedition starting from 1405 until 1433. Which introduced the technique of batik in the 5th century. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today edition with the topic Lhasa, Small China in Central Java. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you on the next miscellany with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Opik, an Indonesian singer of religious songs. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Tombo Hati.
ada lima perkaranya. Yang pertama, baca Quran dan maknanya. Yang kedua, sholat malam dirikanlah. Yang ketiga, berkumpullah dengan orang soleh. Yang keempat, berbanyaklah berpuasa. Yang kelima, zikir malam perpanjanglah. Salah satunya, siapa bisa menjalani? Moga-moga Gusti Allah mencukupi.
That was the first song entitled Tombo Ati, sung by Opik. Listener, Opik was born in Jember, East Java Province on March 16, 1974, with the real name Aunur Rofiq Lil Firdaus. He has begun his career in Indonesia religious music since 2005 through his debut album entitled Istighfar. In this album, there is a hit song entitled Tombo Ati. Because this song is very popular, Opik's first album penetrates more than 800,000 copies and wins 5 Platinum Awards. In 2006, Opik released his second album entitled Semesta Bertaspi, also received well by Indonesian religious music lovers. Until 2016, Opik kept working by releasing one album. In those albums, Opik collaborated with Melly Guslo and group Nasheed Pandawa 5. Listener, before we discuss more about Opik, let's listen to another song from Opik entitled Takdir. Enjoy the song, listener.
Dihempas gelombang, dilemparkan angin, terkisah, ku bersedih, ku bahagia.
Takdir menjalani sekarang. ada luka. Coba tersenyumlah bila mungkin tawa. Coba bersabarlah
karena air mata tak abadi, akan hilang dan berganti. Bila mungkin hidup hampa yang dirasa, mungkinkah hati merindukan dia? Karena hanya dengannya hati tenang, damai jiwa dan dada. Dan tertakdir menjalani segala kehendakmu ya Rabbi. Ku berserah, ku berpasrah hanya padamu ya Rabbi. Dan tertakdir menjalani segala kehendakmu ya Rabbi. Ku berserah.
You have just listened to the second song entitled Takdir sung by Opik. Listener, now Opik is very religious person. He recognized that his past was dark. When he was young, he lived apart from his parents and close to the mystical world. He did it all in order to get attention by many people. He needed the attention because he felt lonely. However, Opik still has a goal. He wants to be a successful man in the music world. To reach his goal, Opik has developed his musicality by joining in the rock band. After graduation from senior high school, Opik pursued his goal. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to last song entitled Assalamualaikum and Bila Waktu Telah Berakhir. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Assalamualaikum ya akhi ya ukhti. 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 Salam-salam hai saudaraku, semoga Allah merahmatimu. Salam-salam wahai semua, semoga hidup jadi bahagia. Bila hati terasa sedih, bila jiwa terasa hampa, mungkin kita sudahlah lupa. Sempurna, kadang hilang, kadang terlupa. Janganlah putus asa, ampunan Allah selalu terbuka.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Bagaimana kau merasa bangga akan dunia yang sementara? Bagaimanakah bila semua hilang dan pergi meninggalkan dirimu? Bagaimanakah bila saatnya waktu terhenti tak kau sadari? Masihkah ada jalan bagimu untuk kembali mengulangkan masa lalu? Segala yang ada akan kembali padanya. Bila waktu telah memanggil, teman sejati hanyalah amal. Bila waktu telah terhenti, teman sejati sejati hanyalah amal. Bila waktu telah terhenti, teman sejati tinggallah sepi. Oh. Bila waktu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.